to the Community Service Committee meeting to order for December 7th, 2020. Debbie, would you please call roll?
Kapusta?
Here.
Trachis?
Present.
Walchanowicz?
Here.
All right, thank you all for coming. I know it's a busy time for everyone and for our directors for getting their information together so that we could slip this last meeting of the year in, so I appreciate that greatly. We are kind of on a tight time schedule today because we are proceeding with the Finance Committee meeting, the Council Finance Committee meeting to follow us. So if we can kind of keep that in mind as we're going through our presentations and, you know, maybe take about a 15 or so minute window so that we'll be able to conclude within our time frame, that would be greatly appreciated. And of course, if anybody needs more time, feel comfortable to do so. But if we could start out with Angie giving us some update on the activities of our drug prevention programs.
Thank you, Councilperson Kapusta. I don't think I'll need the full 15 minutes because, as you can imagine, due to the challenges with the coronavirus, everything is a little bit more challenging right now. But let me go ahead and give you the updates that I have, and then if you have any questions, feel free to ask. When I was here at the last meeting in September, we talked about the Drug-Free Clubs of America. The schools were revisiting that program, and I touched base with them. There are no new updates since what I reported last time, but they are still continuing to look for options. But I did speak with Jess Crooks, who is the health teacher over at the high school, and she is actually teaching the NIDA curriculum in her health class right now. So they are on lesson two. And for anybody that may not remember, it's the National Institute on Drug Abuse curriculum. And back in, I believe it was 2017, the city sponsored training for the NIDA curriculum. The NIDA curriculum is free. There's no cost because it's provided by the government. But sometimes navigating a curriculum like that is very tricky. So the city paid for the schools to be trained in how to deliver the curriculum at the primary school level, middle school, and high school, and additionally St. Michael's teachers were also trained to do that. So I was very happy to learn that Jess is continuing with that NIDA curriculum and her health programs. We have a campus life update. I'm not going to get into too much detail because that's why we have the advisory committee. But as you know, the schools shut down again in November, which has presented some challenges for Jim. Prior to that, and this is new information for you, he was able to start two middle school groups, which led to several mentoring opportunities for him. He does meet individually with students individually and as a group at places like Panera and Chipotle, just to be available if somebody needs to talk. There were also a request from the middle school for assistance, again, prior to the shutdown in November, where he was going to be assisting at the recess and the lunch table, and also with a program called Character Corner, which the principal was starting. But right now, all of those are on hold at this point, but we will be having another advisory team meeting after the holidays, just to kind of touch base and see where the schools are. If they're going to reopen, some of those discussions can be resumed, but we just don't know yet. And then from our, and I did want to say too that the YFC team, there's a whole team working. So Jeff Thompson is the executive director, and Michael Wolf is a director that is a regional director. And we also have Jim Eller, who's the independence director, and Ashley Tangler, who is no longer the director, but she's still very much involved in volunteering. They've recently reached out to the advisory team because we want to make sure that we're best serving the youth and the community. So we're all working together to come up with ways to do that. One of them is possibly organizing a food drive, which I think will be interesting to see if that's something that we can do. And they're also going to be focusing on winter activities that don't need to take place indoors. And then my last update is regarding the prevention specialist, Alexa Belkin. Alexa received 11 new referrals for this school year. Zero of those new referrals were from the primary school, two were from the middle school, and eight were from the high school, one from the city. And then with the 21 continued referrals from last year, that's a total of 32 students. Four of them are still waiting on parent authorization to proceed. So there are currently 28 students being seen all virtually right now. And again, just to remind you some of the issues that they're discussing, it's responses to COVID-19, healthy coping, suicide and its impact, anxiety, depression, trauma and grief, peer conflict, stress management, and substance use. So these are the things that she's seeing within her caseload at the school.
Angie, how does that caseload size compare? Did she give you any, because I can't remember how and you know many cases she typically would get. In a...
Well, I can do a quick look of that if you'd like. I think for me, it seems lower than it did last year. But I do need to look at those numbers to confirm for you.
And can you tell me too, how does she, or does she do outreach? I know Jim Eller always is, you know, like you've talked about with mm-hmm. With his program, but does this particular counselor, does she have any mechanisms that she keeps visible to the students, even in these times of learning remotely?
Well, she does reach out to the parents and she touches base with the parents as well. And I think because it is virtual, I mean, she is doing everything by computer, but I do know, I don't have anything in this particular report from her about that, but I know in past reports that she does continually reach out to the parents to see if there's, you know, any additional assistance that they need. Sometimes, one-on-one counseling is recommended. Like maybe they feel that there's something a little bit more, you know, detail oriented than Alexa can provide. So she'll make referrals to counselors in that way too.
Because, you know, we've heard through second and third hand from situations of parents who are saying, I don't know how I can go on with this with the children anymore. They're, you know, they're so either sad all the time or they're so missing their friends or I can't keep them structured with their studies, you know, things of that nature. And I was just wondering if she has a venue so that she can either let the parents, remind the parents that she's available to them or the students, because I can understand there being lower numbers because of the not face-to-face, but I also know or anticipate that the need has grown. So I'm wondering where that happy median is.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. I'm kind of jot some notes down about this and I'll talk to her supervisor in the schools is the Director of Pupil Services, Sandy McCullough. And I know that at least the way that it stands right now is that Alexa's caseload is developed by referrals only. So I don't know that she personally reaches out to parents to let them know that she's available. And I mean, due to the revision in our agreement, if you remember that the city now partners with the schools instead of Meg, they are pretty much, supervising her in that way. But I can suggest to Sandy, if you'd like, is there a way to cast a wider net with the parents that may not know she's available if their child wasn't referred?
That's what I'm basically saying, because I'm thinking maybe there is some need there that we're missing that she could certainly meet. I definitely believe she has the capability and the value to help our students, and maybe if we just kind of connect the dots in this case or attempt to. So that would be great. I would appreciate that.
I will definitely do that.
Is that the conclusion, Angie?
Yes, that concludes my report. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. If nobody else has any questions, would you mind if I left the meeting?
Oh, no, that's fine. Does anybody have any questions of Angie?
Oh, I did.
There's one. Yes. Come on, Jim.
Thanks, Kathleen. Hi, Angie. Thanks for the update. You know, it looks to be like, our schools are going to be back and forth, you know, probably through May or June of next year with not really being in person. And, you know, it seems somewhat that we're a little underutilized in our services that we've got. And I'm just curious, can there be a, more robust plan for kind of using online, you know, counseling and that type of thing to check in with people. And it just seems that there seems to be even a greater need, and even if people aren't in school, but there are needs. I mean, is there anything we could do that might be a little bit more robust or think out of the box from what we're currently doing?
Are you talking about the prevention specialist or just in general?
Well, in general, but the prevention specialist in particular.
Okay, so one of the ideas that came up with the Youth for Christ team that, you know, was brainstorming some ideas was for Jim Eller, our campus life director, to maybe reach out to the students. He's got a list of, you know, parents' contact information, addresses, you know, maybe send out birthday cards or little notes of encouragement in regular mail, via regular mail, so that maybe they're just not receiving something online. They're spending a lot of time online now. Initially during COVID, the campus life groups were sometimes better attended or very well attended, but they're growing tired of that right now. So one of the suggestions was made to send cards out to reach out to these kids. Is that something that something like what you're talking about?
Absolutely, yeah. Just thinking a little bit differently. I mean, it's usually you know where the customers are, right? If they're in a building, they're not in a building right now. So just trying to think a little differently. I think that's a good suggestion.
Okay, that's great. And certainly, if anybody has any ideas, I mean, this really is a team effort. So, you know, feel free to send me an email if there's anything you can think of or a way for you know, them to serve. I know they'd be happy to hear from us.
Thank you, Councilman Tracus, and thank you, Angie. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
If we could move on then to the Community Services Department, Ms. Amber.
Hello.
Hi.
So I guess we'll start with a little recap since we opened. On Election Day, we had over 2,000 people here to vote in person, and the following Monday, we officially reopened. With minimal programming. So we are doing some youth programs and some adult programs. The bingo, we haven't really had enough people to make it worthwhile to play bingo, unfortunately, and they're used to kind of playing their certain ways. So I think they'll come and play back as soon as we can do it normally. In the meantime, though, they have enjoyed coming to our movie. We've been doing a movie every other Wednesday. And we're still doing our meals, of course. In October, we served over 3,000 meals. In November, now this is minus a week due to Thanksgiving, we served about 2,200 meals. And then December thus far, we had 417 people on Friday, and we have about 334 tomorrow. In terms of youth programs, we get usually between 35 and 40 kids. Those are all small group programs. We have a couple programs in December, but we've been advised to transition them to a pickup program. Did everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sorry, I was having some audio issues. I just want to make sure that it's going through. As for next year, we're I know that we all discussed possibly changing the price of that 55 plus lunch. So I'm just waiting on confirmation of that, because that would be published in the next spotlight, and you know, our seniors will probably need to know by next week if that's officially going to change. So we are, of course, continuing the lunches. We just need confirmation of that increase, if that's going to go through.
Mayor, would that be your...
Yeah, the council approved a $5 fee. So basically, a little more than half, about half of what it's costing us.
Okay, we'll be sure to put that in the next publication and let the seniors know that there's going to be a little bit of a price change.
And some are aware already, I think, between the council meetings and so forth, and I've had less than a handful, but I've had a few seniors who have called me on it, and all very positive. I mean, there has not been one who didn't think that was fair or didn't understand. So good.
That's a great, I agree, Chairman Capusta. That's the same feedback I'm getting.
Okay, great. All right. So $5 serving in 2021. Okay. And then, like I mentioned, the couple of our youth programs that we have planned for December, so we've been advised to do this pickup style. We have an annual gingerbread program that the community really likes. We have 30 kits sold. Just advised today that we are going to do a pickup program, so we have potentially enough material to do a couple more. There were some families that said they would do it if it was a pickup kit. Same thing with the a train program we have, Polar Express. Santa was here last week recording the Polar Express, so he's read that, and we're going to have him read it with the kids, and they can take their book home and reread it with Santa. Also,
Amber, if I may, Amber, Chairman, that $5 fee is on the agenda tomorrow. It's in one of the ordinances. So, I'm sorry. Thank you, Amber.
And then we did the Adopt a Family program this year. We did our individual programs. So we had 10 residents under age 18 who have been assisted. So we are just buttoning that up and getting the rest of the gift cards delivered this week. And then also worth mentioning, we had the Salvation Army kettle out at tree lighting on Saturday, and we raised over $1,000.
That's good.
And going on now to kind of some the next couple months, we are going to be offering a take and make craft. We kind of want the community to be able to do some things at home and not have to, you know, come into the building. So we are doing one this month, and we're not charging anyone anything. These are crafts that we would have done for Holiday Fest. But we are asking when they come to pick up their craft that they bring in a donation for the food bank in exchange for their kit. So we're going to do that, and then we will probably do a couple others this winter just to kind of beat the winter blues, you know, just something for the community to do. And anybody of any age can do these crafts. In January, we're looking at doing some different things. Usually January is kind of, after the holidays, kind of slow. We don't have anything particularly exciting that month, but we would like to do a snowman contest, which I think the community did maybe 10 years ago or so. But we want to do a snowman contest, craft that kind of goes along with that same month. And then also we have a snowman mask craft for any age that they can take home for a nominal fee. So our programmers are working on that. They're pretty excited to be doing those kinds of things. And our adult program coordinator, she had a concern for our seniors with their mental exercises, because, you know, we gave them at-home workouts, we feed them, but we have, you know, the mind to think about. So she's going to start including puzzles with some of the lunches, and some things like word searches and brain teasers and things that they can work on at home to try to keep their mind sharp. And then also depending, of course, on how things go, we would like to, if possible, bring back cheer yoga and regular yoga small group classes. We just are playing that by ear. Of course, we, you know, don't want to push it when it comes to safety. But she also had the idea to do some virtual tours. The movie, as I said, is going pretty well, and I know a lot of our seniors don't have streaming services at home. So she thought it would be great to do a virtual tour of a faraway place. I guess you would think like Rick Steves or something, but they could come in and they could want the kind of tour of either you know, a location or a museum or something like that.
That's a great idea.
We're starting with your house first, Councilperson Trakas.
Or Mayor Kurtz can take us through Germany. He's been through almost every time over the years. Like, I just got back from Germany.
But I can do Deutsch, yes.
So we have a couple of things that to look forward to. We really just want to boost the community spirit. I mean, you know, being that we're in Northeast Ohio, the winter's kind of depressing as it is, so we just want to bring programming that's simple and safe and something that anybody can do, and really just want to keep people involved in the community and have that sense of community spirit. In addition to this couple things that we're doing, we're also going to have some interaction with our social media. So for instance, we have a staff person who suggested a sweater contest, if you've ever heard of an ugly sweater this time of year. So something like that where you could send pictures in. And for the gingerbread program, since we're doing an at-home program, we're going to have people send in their gingerbread, photos of their gingerbread houses, and we're going to put those up so that people who aren't participating can still see what everyone's working on. Just kind of give that sense of community still when we can't be together.
If Councilperson Vavirka doesn't win the ugly sweater contest, I want a refund, so.
Hey. I was thinking about you, Jim.
I got to be in the top three, I know that one.
So, does anyone have any questions on current programming or the opening or anything like that?
Person Vavirka?
Well, I have a question as it relates to the meal, and Kathleen, you may best know the answer to this, I don't know, but as we had our discussion about what the appropriate age was related to the feeding the body with the meals, I know there are some people in town that qualify for HEAP. If those people are not seniors, is there a way to qualify them for the meals?
Well, Amber, we have right now 55 plus, right? That's what we have.
Right.
And if you're saying younger people, are you thinking like family age people? Is that with like children? Is that what you were thinking?
Well, that's what I'm curious about. I obviously don't have access to that, and that's not my job. But the idea of, are there people outside of the 55 age group that are in a tough situation that it might be appropriate for them to have either a free meal or at least to qualify for a program? That question.
Amber, do you have anybody who gets that data any longer from the state? I used to get it from Columbus. But you have anybody?
No, the only time that we know if someone's on HEAP or PIP is if they sign up for snow removal and we need the proof that they get a lower rate, but otherwise we don't have that information, though.
You know, I'd almost guess, I hear what you're saying, and I'd almost would say maybe just a reminder that if we have residents in the community who are on these programs and they have any types of needs, maybe they could talk to community services, because I don't know if I'm thinking that if they're younger groups, I don't know that they would be necessarily getting on the lunch program. Hopefully somebody's working or maybe working, you know, or doing schoolwork with kids at home. But I'm thinking maybe they would be ones that we could hook up with our other programs, like our own food pantry, St. Michael's, the pantries from the Lend a Hand, things like that. And maybe there's some other utility programs that they might be eligible for that they don't even know about. So I think maybe more of just casting a wider net and being general in that, saying, you know, if you're on any of the financial need programs or if you believe you need any other help, please contact us and we can talk through what's available. That's how I would recommend it.
Now, Lori is the one working on our Adopt a Family program, and she does get a list from the local schools, I believe just the public schools, of students who are on a reduced lunch program, because those are the folks who would qualify for Adopt a Family. So you could always look at that list.
From a universal standpoint, if anyone in the community is struggling, it's brought to our attention, we will always afford them the opportunity to participate in any of our programs. It's just, it doesn't happen very often, so I'm assuming that no one would object to us extending that privilege to anyone that's in need or an episodic situation.
And I think for the ongoing needs, that's why we use the HEAP program as the barometer, because it's very uncomfortable for you to sit there and talk to a resident, friend, neighbor about, well, show me your income tax statements, this, that, and the other. You don't need to do that with HEAP because they set the parameters,
right.
And that's why that's good. And like you say, episodically, of course, you know, it job loss, whatever illness, we've always helped out, and that's great. So, Councilman Tracus, or I'm sorry, Councilman Burkhardt, so, sorry.
Right, I just wanted to follow up on that. I mean, it's good to be able to collect the data from the schools to be able to provide help. I know it's difficult, as you said, to meet face-to-face with somebody and you know, have them prove what their situation is. But I wondered if it might be appropriate to put something in the spotlight related to how we're trying to make sure that we are able to provide some help to families that are in a tough situation. I know you're talking, Amber, about the your deadline for the spotlight related to the meal charge. And just wondered if it might be appropriate to include something in there predominantly that says, you know, hey, if you're in a tough position, you shouldn't be afraid to contact community services or something along that line.
We'll look at a narrative that gives people a vehicle to look at some enhanced need that we can address without making it so broad that it's, you know, come one, come all.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. You want to be able to help those that really need help, and, you know, you don't want people that are kind of, what do you want to call them, a scofflaw or whatever, that, you know, just want to grab onto the situation. But even in this community, it's hard to believe, but there are people that are really struggling. So it seems like whatever possibility we can have to cast out the net, a narrow net, but a net to make sure that we can help those people.
The last spotlight, and actually the last two spotlights, we did run an article saying that if you are a family in need or an individual in need, to contact our department. Any of those folks who had children in the household who are under 18, we were able to set up with the Adoptive Family Program. And anyone else who has come to us because they needed some sort of nutritional assistance, we send directly to St. Michael's Food Bank. Our contact at St. Michael's Food Bank, he has said that he has been able to help a bunch of families that were referred there from us. So thankfully we have that connection, and he's been able to really help a lot of families in the community who have needed groceries.
And that's why I'm grateful when I see too that the city uses some of their food donations to direct it right to the St. Vincent de Paul at St. Michael's. That's great. That's great. Any other questions of Amber? Amber, did you have anything next to proceed, or is that?
No, just a couple of things that we're just looking for to work on in the next couple weeks, in the next couple months. We had talked about the atrium. We are currently looking at furniture and different things like that. We would like to utilize a local company if possible to do the atrium. And so we're just kind of looking at those things that we need. We want to really see if we can do that starting in 2021. And get ahead with that, because we've been talking about it for a long time now. And a couple of things that, looking kind of farther ahead for next year, and this is something we talked about, and we're looking at doing our farmer's market, but combine that possibly with our summer concerts and make it more like an event than just shopping. So Gabrielle is helping out with that. She is going to be looking at some of the other area farmers markets. And we had talked about some last time, some of the different communities that do the farmers markets. Seven Hills, is it? They do live music with their farmers market and food and things of that nature. And also, depending on how things go with the pandemic, we are looking to see how we can reach more people at home and start to do more virtual things, more send home things if we can't be together, or when the weather starts to warm up, depending on the regulations, possibly utilize some more of our outdoor spaces. You know, could we do bingo in the pavilion, things of that nature. So we're trying to think ahead and try to kind of stay in a type of plan that allows us some wiggle room if we do need to modify, that we have contingency plans.
I was wondering too, and I don't know quite how to operationalize this, if it's feasible even for you to do that, but I think that an area of need is, I think we might get more seniors involved in some of these things. They have a computer probably sitting at home and just don't really, aren't really comfortable with the interface or how to connect with you guys on some of these things. Maybe there's some kind of, I don't mean, you know, intense computer help to them, but something. The Village of Brooklyn Heights is doing Zoom meetings with their seniors, you know? I mean, some, then that took a lot of work. It wasn't an easy thing. The seniors had the computers there, but they never did Zoom. So they were kind of working with them one-on-one to get them comfortable with that, and so that they could have some connections with each other too, that they don't, that don't, that they don't have, and that would be more comfortable than when they, some of them you said were a little adverse to coming in to say like bingo and stuff, and you know, this way they would still be able to have the connection. So maybe, I don't know quite how to operationalize that, but if there could be some thought given to, if there's anything we could do along those lines, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, that sounds like the direction we want to head. They say, you know, hindsight is 2020, but we've been offering computer classes and iPhone classes for several years now with very, very low enrollment, to the point of we were having to cancel them. And of course now it'd be great to be able to do computer classes so that people could do these types of things.
Necessity, right? The mother of invention.
Exactly.
Anyone have any questions or comments for Amber? All right. If not, thank you very much, Amber. We appreciate that. And we can go on to the Recreation Department's Director Walt Chanowitz.
Thanks, Kathleen. Can everybody hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Everyone can hear?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, great. Because my Wi-Fi signal in my office sometimes is acting up. So if as I'm going through this, if you're having issues, please let me know, because it could be my Wi-Fi signal here. But to start our fall program wrap-up, we had a modified flag football program this past fall. Dimitri took care of that, and we worked along with the travel football program that was just created by a parent group led by Joel Woods. So between those two, there was over 65 kids enrolled. But again, the travel program was mostly all done by the parent group. That was Joel Woods who headed that. And that was the group that was backed by the old middle school property on the back football field. Our travels, soccer, we had 9 teams in the SRSL league. And we also did our Soccer for Five program. In total, we had 124 participants. April did start a indoor fall swimming lesson program, and we had 40 participants in that also. We did two special events. One was a Halloween drive-in movie over at the field house. And unfortunately, the weather didn't work out the best for that one, but we had to cancel the first day that we had it, but we, on the Friday, then we moved it to the following Saturday, and that was a pretty successful event also. And then the other special event we had was the Indy Kids Rockin' Night Out in the Park, and that was the evening that we really did have good weather. I think it was like 73 degrees that evening, and it was a very successful event, and that was held over here in Elmwood Park. April did start our water aerobics and our water exercise classes back up here in the Civic Center, and those have been slowly, the attendance has been slowly increasing. And of course, our dry land aerobic classes are ongoing, and the tenants in those are slowly getting back to up to where they should be also. So that wraps up my fall program portion. Does any have any questions on that before I move on?
We're good.
Okay, I'll move on to winter facility operations and hours. Over here at the Civic Center, we did expand our weekend hours. We are now here till 4 o'clock on Saturdays, and on Sundays we're here till 3 o'clock. This just helps spread the amount of people in the building out, and that's what we're trying to do, is to listen to what the people want when they want to come in. And this, again, helps spread out the attendance in the building, so we don't have we don't go over capacity, I guess, to what I want to say, so, which we haven't even come close. Again, we're fortunate to have a large facility. We did open up the field house on a limited basis at this point, and we have a Monday through Friday hours from 9 a.m. to noon, and then we're Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings from 6 till 8. This has been, I've been very positive feedback on this, especially since the weather has turned. People want to get out. They've been walking, and the field house is so big. It's a nice place to walk. You can social distance, and so it's working out real nice. And we are looking at expanding 5 days for the evening session also. So we're going to open up Mondays and Fridays. And then more than likely after the first of the year, we're going to have some limited weekend hours. Again, we are not having any big events at that facility. No basketball tournaments, no train shows, no garage sales. Obviously, everything is just on the small side.
Yes. Councilperson Montanowicz. Tom, question.
Is it going to be open for local team practices in the evenings?
Yes. Absolutely. It's that's one of the reasons why we did open it. When we did, we're trying to put most of our travel basketball practices over there rather than here in the Civic Center gym. We're trying to keep this gym open in the Civic Center for families that come in with they want to shoot around as a family in the gym. Yeah. And then that's why we're going to expand more in after the first of the year, Chris, because we know we're going to get the baseball and softball travel teams are going to want it.
Okay.
We're going to do everything we can. We're going to accommodate all of the needs. So if you hear anything, let us know. That's what I tell all of our staff. If you hear any requests, I want to know about them, because we want to, cater and make sure the residents are getting what they want.
Okay.
Over at the Elmwood Rec building, what we're using that building for at this point is for all the blood banks are over there. And then we have been getting PTO groups, the Cub Scouts, to have a room for their meetings. So we have been accommodating these small groups over at the Elmwood Rec building. So that's what's going on over there. We are still not allowing open gym for any of our groups at this point. And that concludes my facility portion of this report. If anyone has any questions on our hours or our facility operations.
Danny, Tom.
Okay. I'll move on to winter programs and activities. We have the high school swim team that began practicing here, and as I'm speaking here, they're in our pool now. We worked with the schools to find a way to get them in here safely and have a swim season, and so far it's been working out nice. We did have one swim meet last week, and after a lot of logistics, working with the schools and the coaches, we was very successful. The visiting team came in through our back doors, because you have to have everybody separate, and it worked out real nice. And so we do have the high school swim team in here, and our residents have been accommodating as far as, when they're here, we don't really have the pool area open for our residents, and so far everybody's been getting along very well. And our residents understand that, you know, the kids need to have a winter sport. And so that's been successful so far. And again, and there's no spectators with this sport either. This past week, picked teams for our youth basketball program. We have 58 children enrolled, and so they can start practicing now, which they have, and the games will start the second week of January. We have 8 teams total. And then we also have 4 youth travel basketball teams that have been practicing in here and over at the field house, mostly at the field house. And we're closely monitoring it here as residents only. The only time we did have some non-residents in so far is again when we had the first swim meet in here. And again, they were very contained. So that concludes my winter program and activities portion. If anyone has any questions, I have a couple other things I want to go over.
Don't see any, Tom.
Okay.
Hey, Tom, Kathleen?
Yes.
That swim meet that you had, future swim meets, were some of the parents allowed to attend that, or is it just strictly the teams and officials?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just the teams and officials. We just don't have the room in the pool area, even though with that balcony, it's just, you couldn't even get many people up there, so they all decided just to not have spectators at all, correct?
Very good. Thank you, Tom.
You had something else, Tom?
Yeah, just 2 quick things I want to note here. We had the park holiday lights are going on now, and that's what our staff has really been concentrating on is in the park here. We put up a lot of lights. We did a lot of work. And I just want to thank all of our staff for everything that they've done. A lot of them really put a lot of effort into this. A lot of coordination. Creativity. A lot of work went into this, and I want to thank everybody.
Froze up there, Tom.
They did a lot of work on this. And the other last thing I just want to say is that we did get the finance department received the $35,000 NatureWorks grant refund, and so that came in from phase 2 of the playground. So that's in our city coffers now. And I just want to give a special thanks out to Eric Sarley, who really spearheaded this grant application, and it worked out real nice.
All right,
and that concludes my report.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments for Tom? All right.
Only that, Madam Chairman, I'll say this many times over the next couple of days, but the rec department, all the employees, the community services, everyone did a phenomenal job last weekend, and the topping on the cake was the fireworks. And I think we may be discussing new traditions, because the overwhelming success of putting smiles on all these children's faces and the sincere appreciation received from the parents. And it was phenomenal just to be privileged to be part of that. A little cold, but privileged to be part of that.
It's nice. Thank you, Matt. Okay. Yes. Councilperson McVerka.
Yes. Just to be aware, all of the Independence High School sports events are televised. And if you go to the Boosters site, they have information how you pay for a year. You can pay for a month at a time, but you can then access football games, soccer games, swim meets in this case. So for parents that felt like or were disappointed that they couldn't be there in person, they could watch the event on streaming.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you. Thank you. Under other matters, there was a request by Councilperson Trakis to address the status.
Thanks for bringing that up, yes.
Okay, well, this goes actually back to the community services side, Tom, the, addressing the position of the social worker in community services. And Mayor, I know you said you'd make a comment at community time today.
Yes, we are, we're circling the wagons as we speak about year-end, recapping our successes, our challenges, impact of COVID. And obviously, one of the areas that we are going to focus on in the first quarter of 2021 is the social services, social workers position. And we're putting together the criteria, and we may need to lean on someone with a lot of experience, Madam Chairman, but in terms of the vetting process. But I think there's a consensus that the first quarter should be the focus. We want to get through the holidays. And with the uniqueness of what we're dealing with right now, both from a community standpoint and also the individual departments, we're making that a priority for 2021 first quarter goal.
Thank you, Mayor. Any other questions or comments? All right. Then if not, there's no other matters before this committee. I thank you for all your input. And it's been great working with everyone this year, and I hope that all have a good holiday if we don't see some of the directors. But do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Deb, you call roll.
Kapusta?
Yes.
Trakis?
Aye.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
All right, thank you, and thank you for your timeliness. You have actually enough time to go get a glass of water before the next meeting, so thank you again for everyone. Okay,
bye-bye. Thank you, Madam Chairman, thanks, members of the committee, members of council.
Thanks, Mayor.
In a few minutes.
Thanks, Mayor.
Deb, did you send out another panelist for this finance meeting?
No, I will send that to you right now.
Thanks, Deb.
You're welcome.
Yeah. He didn't know if you needed to do anything so that if they just read their emails, will they, or can you do it so they can share this?
It's too hard. I mean, Vern can, I can let Vern share the screen. Yes, no problem. But it's too hard for me to share. It's too hard for me to work the screen and watch everything else in the meeting.
Okay.
Do you, he's emailing that out right now. Does he want to share his screen?
Well, the problem is he doesn't have, can he do that if he doesn't have a camera on his thing?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
His phone
and his file.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can use his phone to talk or,
I'll let him share his screen.
Okay.
Okay, and if he has a problem, we'll figure it out.